A new educational center is set to open in the Mid-Klamath region, one that's devoted to the ecology and people of that region. The Pikyav Field Institute is part of the Karuk tribe's efforts to connect young people with their past and the present state of environmental issues in Siskiyou and Humboldt counties and beyond. The institute will celebrate a culture that was historically written out of California's textbooks. Lisa Hillman is the program manager of the Pikyav Field Institute for the Karuk tribe. She joins us shortly by phone. I also want to welcome, Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Ayuki.
Ayuki. And Lee Hillman is also with us. He's director of the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Policy for the Karuk tribe. Hi, Lee.
Good morning.
Good morning to you both. So the tribe service area includes much of Siskiyou and Humboldt counties in Northern California. We're talking about Happy Camp, Orleans, Yreka. Lisa, where is this new field institute located?
Pikyav Field Institute is located here at the Department of Natural Resources in Orleans, California.
Uh-huh. And that's in Humboldt County.
That's correct. That's the physical location. Of course, in a physical location is also going to be out in the field all throughout Karuk ancestral territory.
And as for that ancestral territory, the Karuk tribe does not have a formal reservation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So how does the Field Institute weave students into the ancestral territory? Where will they go and what will they see?
Well, so if we're looking at the Karuk ancestral territory, we see that is not defined by a reservation. Mm-hmm. It's defined by exactly where our people are from and where we have always been and lived. And so we have, you know, right now we have five local schools that are direct partners with the Karuk Pikyav Field Institute, and that's located in both Siskiyou and Humboldt counties.
And so will the Field Institute be supplementing their existing K-12 education?
That's correct. At this moment, that's the way we have it, and we've had some great successes already so far.
And you mentioned these five schools. I'm imagining some of them are quite remote. Orleans, for example, you guys have an elementary school there, but no high school. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's right.
So where do those students, once they hit sixth grade or eighth grade, I'm imagining, where do they go to high school?
Our elementary schools go to eighth grade.
Yeah.
After that, in the Orleans area, this is the lowest or the lowest. This is the most southernmost point of the Karuk ancestral territory where we have a school. They either go to Happy Camp High School or they go to Hoopa Valley High School. And we have great relationship with both of those schools and the administration. So I don't see any problem with those kids being able to extend their education through the Pikyav Field Institute at both of these schools. And, of course, in Yreka, we have several high schools or a couple of high schools as well as alternative high schools in both Happy Camp and Yreka.
Now, Leif Hillman, the Field Institute we're talking about, Pikyav, it's named for the Karuk word for fix it. How do you think connecting young people with education can heal the environmental problems that we deal with today?
Well, first of all, I just want to say how very proud that I am to be a part of the creation of the Pikyav Field Institute. The Pikyav Field Institute, really, in my view, is simply another step toward revitalizing what is our ancient past, who we are as Karuk people. And the word Pikyav means to fix it. And we're known as fix the world people for our Pikyawish or world renewal ceremonies that we conduct every year. And the Institute really, in my mind, represents that holistic approach to education and life, not as separate boxes that we divide up, but from the time we're born, we're born into this world as students, really, and we remain students until we're no longer part of this world. And so that concept is really what Pikiawish and world renewal is all about. It's about humans living with the environment that we're born into, and as part of that environment, and as students of that environment, and living, you know, within the confines and the framework and boundaries set by our natural world. So the Pikiaw Field Institute, to me, represents sort of this holistic approach to living life as education.
And when you talk about a holistic approach to education while partnering with public schools, what are some of the areas where you're able to make that education more holistic and less about, say, hitting a standard or passing a test?
Well, actually, I think it's really about the translation, because, you know, for far too long, these standards that have been set, it's really just a different approach, because when we translate those standards and we apply the curriculum that's being developed through the Pikiaw Field Institute, we can meet those same standards that the state of California or any other state sets as far as public education. We can meet those with our own curriculum that is really built around the environment that we live in, and our tribal students actually, when you translate those that curriculum into those standards, really our children, our tribal kids, really excel in that sort of environment, so long as it's translated. But for far too long, it's been not really relevant. Our kids don't really view the curriculum in our public schools as relevant to their lives. And so we're really trying to change that.
You're listening to Leif Hillman. He's director of the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Policy for the Karuk Tribe. We're talking about a field institute for youth and also for higher education, serving folks in Humboldt County and parts of Siskiyou County where the Karuk ancestral homelands are. Also with us is Lisa Hillman. She's the program manager for this new field institute. Lisa, when we talk about culturally relevant curriculum, what does that look like? What are some of the things that you've worked to include to make school matter to Native kids where you live?
Well, when we look at science and when we look at literature, we look at language, we look at all the different parts of modern education, we have teachers. We have many teachers in there. Our teachers as Karuk people are our oral traditions. They're our native plants and animals and the natural elements such as earth, air, fire, water, and the spirits. These are our teachers, and the traditional ecological knowledge behind it is our science, literature, religion, health, social studies, textbooks, so to speak. So this is true Native education, and it's the very core of our identity and well-being. Without the teachers and books, textbooks, where would we be, actually?
And last time we spoke with you both, it was in August of last year, about a new herbaria in partnership with botanists at UC Berkeley, identifying and displaying culturally significant plants. I'm thinking that's the kind of vein we're in here when you talk about bringing together traditional knowledge and culturally relevant awareness with science. Lisa, could you talk more about how you bring 21st century science to bear on a history that goes back since time immemorial?
Well put, except the science part. And I'll just say this is my mantra. I say this all the time. Science just means knowledge. So if you're talking about Western science, you have to define it as such. So traditional ecological knowledge is native science, and it is nothing new. As you say, it's a knowledge passed down through generations from the first people, or the Ikariyav and Karuk. And they teach about the environment through oral traditions, our stories, and through we learn also through the thousands of years of experiential learning, or learning through careful observation of the world around us and our shared experience. Translating that, as Leif said, into curriculum that meets the Common Core standards for the state of California, both in English language and in the sciences. So this makes this very easy and relevant for students and classes, classroom teachers here, anywhere actually, but particularly in this area here, it's particularly relevant, and it helps those students understand their world using that kind of language that they need in, as you said, modern first, so the 21st century languages.
Well, and particularly a very empirical attitude towards science as sort of the accrual of data versus science as knowledge and wisdom, as you're framing it. It strikes me that a lot of that knowledge and wisdom has been lost for Indigenous people because of genocide and destruction of culture. Which facets do you focus on rebuilding or bringing back? Or one, do you agree with that? And two, which ones, if you do, do you focus on bringing back into the curriculum of a culturally relevant, a culturally centered educational center?
I think we have to look at this, you know, in a very holistic manner, as Leif said as well. So we've got to look at many different parts of what has happened and what is happening in order to understand, you know, where we are at this place and how we're connected to this land. Being able to read our stories, which are, you know, naturally, traditionally, orally transmitted, being able to learn these through an English language lesson, learning about those stories and the knowledge that they contain, and then continuing that into science projects, science, so Western science-based and traditional ecological knowledge-balanced science lessons. And then so turning that, you know, as well as so into art and theater, if that should be in that particular set of standards. Those are ways in which we can help students learn better about their world, about themselves, and like I said, be able to express that knowledge and understanding in modern terminology, as well as Karuk language.
Lisa Hillman is the Pikyav Field Institute Program Manager for the Karuk Tribe. She also involved in a lot of interesting projects for the tribe. Leif Hillman also with us. He's Director of the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Policy. You can join this discussion. A few minutes left here to get in your question or comment. Join us at 800-838-3760 or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. Leif, in your job at the head of a Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Policy, we discussed earlier how the tribe does not have a formal reservation or contiguous lands really in trust. What challenges does that present for protecting and creating cohesive environmental policies like the kind that would perhaps come out of this field institute and people who are educated in their the ecology of where they live?
On the one hand, I'll say it prevents many formidable challenges, as one can easily imagine. On the other hand, it provides us with a unique opportunity that that I think that aren't afforded to other communities, to other Native tribes, or you know, our communities along the Klamath River. You know, we can, the tribe, we say Orleans, Soames Bar, Happy Camp, and even Wairika. These are all Native communities. But it turns out there are non-Native people who live in these same communities. They're not exclusively Native communities. But the relevance of this education and of environmental policy and the impact that the potential impact that we can have on environmental policy is very evident in our daily lives here, and very relevant for our students.
Could you give me an example of a daily life when you see environmental policy in action?
Absolutely. Throughout this region, we're faced with probably the most serious environmental challenge that we face today is this the ever-increasing wildfires that we see in this region, with climate change, as well as over 100 years of federal policy that has been to exclude fire from this ecosystem, and we're paying the price for that today with the cost of suppression, as well as the cost to communities in terms of lives being put in jeopardy, our homes being threatened, our very communities being threatened with survival in the face of this unnatural accumulation of forest fuels. And what do we do about that problem? And, you know, there's been a policy debate about this issue for many, many years. And there are new policies that are coming into being, and we're trying to negotiate those. And traditional Kudu'uk ecological knowledge, the use of fire is sort of Kudu'uk people have been using fire on this very landscape for thousands of years. And so this is an opportunity that we have to work with federal agencies, to work with educational institutes, universities, for example. We do a lot of work with universities at Humboldt State, as well as Southern Oregon University to Berkeley, plugging in graduate students into our communities to sort of to share this knowledge that we have of fire, and on a policy advocacy level, being able to interact with federal agencies on a government-to-government basis to influence federal policies on these lands that are traditionally Kudu'uk lands, I think that it provides a unique opportunity that that others don't have,
mm-hmm.
And I'm excited about that.
Lisa Hillman, going back to the Piikkiaw Field Institute and what Leif was just saying about these partnerships with, say, grad students at HSU, who will be teaching the classes offered through the Field Institute?
We have a multitude of partners, so partnering university, as Leif talked about, and we have, there's also UC Davis, so we have Stanford and University of California at Berkeley that are all, you know, I even just got an email this morning from a Stanford assistant professor who is trying to schedule some seminars here, and then we are invited, Leif Hillman and myself are invited to go to talk to students at those specific locations. And so with this exchange, we end up having lecture, however you want to put it, pieces, workshop pieces, also lecture series that balance that traditional ecological knowledge with Western science to provide a holistic learning experience for natives and non-natives alike.
How many students do you anticipate will participate in these workshops through the new Field Institute based in Orleans?
We have right now with the students that we're currently teaching in the K through 12 division, that's approximately 270, I would say. As far as with the university students, we have through the Klamath Connection under Amy Sproul's professor and Matt Johnson, we'll be hosting lecture series in the near future for approximately 20 to 30 per semester. With HSU, we've got a really lovely collaboration with the Special Collections librarian there. We've just given lectures there at HSU, and they'll be coming here to learn about our digital library and digital preservation on the ground, not in a very virtual sort of setting. I'm guessing we'll probably end up with around 250 higher education, as well as about 250 K through 12.
Wow.
So just recognizing also that we do have the environmental workforce development and internships division under PKYAV, as well as food security. Our food security division, we have about 1,000 people per year, but there's of course a lot of repeat participation on many of our seminars and workshops that we facilitate through food security.
Lisa Hillman is the program manager with the PKYAV Field Institute for the Karuk Tribe. We've been talking this segment about environmental education in Humboldt County and Siskiyou counties and the ancestral homelands of the Karuk. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Yodwa.
Also with us is Leif Hillman, Director of the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Policy. Thank you, Leif.
Thank you very much.